This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne. It was just a year or so ago when a newly re-elected President Bush announced he had earned political capital and intended to use it. But what followed was clearly the most difficult year of Mr. Bush's presidency. The war in Iraq, the response to hurricanes, higher gasoline prices, and scandals within his party. This year, Republicans once again have to defend their control of both the House and the Senate. Democrats need about 15 seats to win back the House. They'll need 6 seats to recapture the Senate. And despite favorable signs for the party, it will be an uphill task. Joining me to talk about what's at stake are NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson and political editor Ken Rudin. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Renee.
Let's begin with you, Mara. You've studied the polls. How does the public see the Republican Party at this point?
Well, the Congress, and of course it is a Republican Congress, is seen with pretty low ratings in the low 40s, lower than the president's. However, these are not historic lows. They aren't as low as the Democratic Congress got before the big Republican revolution of the mid-90s. But on a number of issues like the economy and jobs, the war in Iraq, on government spending, Republicans are seen as worse than Democrats or not as well able to handle those issues. However, I should point out that we're not seeing a seesaw effect in the polls. In other words, Democrats are not going up as Republicans are going down.
So, Ken, turning to you, how does this all feed into what is an historical 6-year itch, if you will, of the party in power in the White House?
Right, Renee. And we've seen in the past historical elections that when there's a national theme or there's an overriding viewpoint among American voters, there is a big reaction against the party in power that's been in the party of the power in the White House for 6 years. In 1958, for example, we saw that we had the Eisenhower recession and some scandals going on. Democrats picked up 49 House seats plus 17 in the Senate. In 1966, with a reaction against the war in Vietnam and civil unrest in the streets, Republicans picked up 47 seats in the House. So usually when you look at 6-year itches, it usually hurts the party in the White House pretty badly. But having said that, 1998, we had a supposed 6-year itch with Bill Clinton, the Monica Lewinsky scandal, but there was a sense that the Republicans overreached that year. And in fact, Democrats picked up seats in that 6-year election. So it's one thing to point out historical trends. It's another to see what the actual mood of the country is.
Why don't we turn to talking a bit about what's at stake?
Well, in terms of what the Democrats would have to do to retake one house or the other, in the House of Representatives, as you mentioned, they need about 15 seats. That's a pretty high hurdle. You need to have, most people say, about 30 to 50 truly competitive races. In other words, seats that are really in play to get a net pickup of 15. And over the years, the majority parties, both parties, have become much more adept at designing safe congressional districts for their incumbents. So they put up a pretty mighty fortress around incumbents that makes it a lot harder to defeat incumbents. And both parties have been pretty good this year at keeping retirements down, meaning they have reduced the number of open seats that are available. Open seats are easier for the opposite party to pick up. In the Senate, they need a net gain of 6. And that's going to be pretty tough for the Democrats because there's only one Republican open seats, and that's in Tennessee. Senator Frist, the majority leader, is stepping down. Now, that means they need to defeat 5 incumbents, assuming they got that one open seat. That is a very, very high hurdle.
And for Democrats to capture control of the Senate, they have to defeat every vulnerable Republican incumbent. That means they have to beat Conrad Burns in Montana. They have to beat Lincoln Chafee in Rhode Island, Mike DeWine in Ohio. They have to beat Rick Santorum in probably the premier Senate race in Pennsylvania, and maybe Jim Talent in Missouri, and then take Bill Frist's Senate seat, and then they have to hold their own. Everything has to fall in line, and that's a huge hurdle for the Democrats in 2006.
Mara, what else are the Republicans doing in the Senate to hang on to it?
Well, the biggest accomplishment that the Republicans in the Senate had this year is that they kept the open seats to a minimum. The Democrats have more open seats to defend, just one open seat being vacated by a Republican retiring senator, and that's Senator Bill Frist, the majority leader in Tennessee. They protected their incumbents.
But you do see Republicans running scared. Mike DeWine in Ohio is interesting. Mike DeWine voted against Anwar in the bill last month in the Senate. He voted against the budget compromise that Vice President Dick Cheney had to come in and break a tie. Lincoln Chafee is very nervous in Rhode Island. There were 2 Democrats in Rhode Island who have run statewide before. Conrad Burns, a senator from Montana, who's involved in the Jack Abramoff scandal. There's a statewide candidate who's running against him, too. too. So there are some key Democratic recruitment victories that could bode well for the Democrats this year.
Well, let's talk about some of those issues that have come up that could do harm to the Republicans and see if the Democrats are managing to work that. Iraq, at this point in time, the corruption scandals.
Well, first of all, Iraq is an interesting question. You said at this point in time. At this point in time, Iraq is working against the Republicans.
Right.
However, there's a long way to go, and we don't know exactly what Iraq is going to look like a year from now. Maybe it'll look great, or maybe it'll look like a horrible mess, chaos, and civil war. However, the war on terrorism, which at least in our latest polling that we've looked at, has really separated itself from the war in Iraq. During the 2004 elections, remember, the president wanted to conflate them, but now they've become separate, and Republicans still maintain a pretty big advantage on terrorism when measured against Democrats. Ethics, very interesting question. Clearly, you have the Republicans in the majority. More Republicans took money from Jack Abramoff than Democrats. That's almost logical because they're in the majority. The polling shows that at this point, voters have not identified the corruption scandals as a, quote, Republican problem.
Perfect example, 1989, when the Republicans loved to run against Jim Wright, the Speaker of the House, who was brought down in an ethics scandal. Tony Coelho, a ranking Democrat from California, brought down because of a scandal. So the Republicans said, we have to end this Democratic culture of corruption. And as it turned out in 1990, Democrats still nonetheless picked up seats in the House. So, you know, they could rail all they want about a culture of corruption. Whether it plays well with the voters remains to be seen.
Something else quite interesting, some potential presidential candidates are not running again.
Several of them aren't. Actually, Bill Frist, we mentioned, he's stepping down as majority leader in the Senate. He's going to devote himself full time to running for president. He's going to go back to being Dr. Frist, which he thinks is a more appealing platform. And I think that history shows him he's probably correct than the majority leader. That's Bob Dole proved that it was pretty hard
given to run. Given the lack of Republican success in
right,
the Senate.
Right. Not given the lack of Republican success. And also, it's hard to be the majority leader and run for president. Mitt Romney is the most interesting potential candidates who stepped down. Mitt Romney, the governor of the very blue state of Massachusetts, wants to run in the Republican primary. It's almost impossible to be the governor of Massachusetts and appeal to the Republican base, which is completely on the other end of the spectrum. So he, not to anybody's surprise, decided not to run again. And I guess he'll be just driving a few miles up the road and spending a lot of time in New Hampshire.
Well, and there's also Tom Vilsack, a Democratic governor from Iowa. He's not running for re-election this year. He could. He's Catholic. He's very popular. He was on a short list of John Kerry running mates in 2004. And I suspect that if he does seek the Democratic nomination for president, he could do very well in the Iowa caucuses.
Ken, Mara, thank you. And Ken, your Political Junkie column, it's up now at NPR.org.
It is. As a matter of fact, Renee, the current issue talks about those in the political world who passed away in 2005, a nice little remembrance of William Rehnquist and Eugene McCarthy, a whole entire list there.
NPR political editor Ken Rudin and national political correspondent Mara Liasson, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Renee.